Hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Fantasy Beasts with Connor and Nate. I'm your co-host, and I'm joined with my good buddy Nate. Nate, what's happening?
Well, we survived Hurricane Barry, and we're another week closer to football, so let's get this thing rolling.
Yeah, no kidding. We were talking about just the other day how we're less than 2 weeks away from the Hall of Fame game, and it's such a shame that it has to be Denver and Atlanta, but beggars can't be choosers at this point. I'm ready for some football.
That's right. I will take anything at this point.
Yeah, I'm super excited, and the closer we get to the actual season starting, a lot of news is rolling in as well. So not only are we going to be covering the AFC North and the NFC North with you guys today, but we're going to start out with a little news around the NFL and just kind of chat about that and kind of pick each other's brains on some things going on and what impact it may have on fantasy. So, Nate, I think you got some news for us.
Yeah, so one big thing I really want to talk about right now is kind of the thing that's worrying me the most. So the current collective bargaining agreement, will end after the 2020 season. Now, I can remember back, 6, 7 years ago whenever the other one ended and we had the NFL lockout. Mm-hmm. But the NFL and the NFLPA sat down for – it was supposed to be 3-day negotiation. They ended it after 1 day. Now, they said they got some good things talked about, but they had to table a lot of big topics. I don't think it's anything to worry about too much right now, but I think it's definitely something we should keep an eye on, because last time Roger Goodell came out and said they were making really good progress, and we saw what happened. We ended up being locked out for most of an offseason.
Yeah, a lot of the times when Roger Goodell says something, it's going to end up falling pretty flat. It does worry me. Anything that there's going to be major negotiations on is always a threat to football. I think football is in a pretty precarious position in general right now with everything that we're still learning about things like CTE. The NFL and the players are trying to make it a safer game, but I think at the core of what football is, it is dangerous. So any, debate going back and forth between the players and the NFL, I think just adds to the risk long-term for football, and that does worry me.
Absolutely. I mean, I hate to be one of those guys that say you know what you signed up for, but in a certain way you do. And that's why they, that's why they get, paid the big bucks. I think it's just something to keep an eye on. Obviously we're still early. We haven't even played the 2020 season yet. But just keep an eye out on that.
For sure. We don't want to run into another position like we had several years ago, or even worse, run into something like a shortened season like the NBA had not too long ago, or a complete, miss of a year like the major leagues had in the 90s. That would be really rough, especially for the new product, right?
Right, yeah.
So also going on in the NFL, we got a perennial first-round pick threatening to hold out. And, that's always a major risk. Melvin Gordon from the Chargers looking at possibly holding out if he doesn't get a new deal signed very quickly. What impact do you think that should have on people's planning for fantasy?
I think right now it shouldn't be too much of an issue. Obviously, keep an eye on it. Maybe if you were thinking about taking him in the first or second round, maybe hold off to the third, see if he's still there. But one thing he said that his teammates have his back, and I don't think the Chargers really want to lose Melvin Gordon for a large portion of the season or even more of training camp. So I think they're going to try to get that deal done. And he expressed a lot of support for Le'Veon Bell last year. Uh-huh. And we are getting into the position where, running backs, let's be realistic, 29, 30, they're really in the downhill slump.
Oh, yeah. And so he's definitely towards the end of his career, playing a full, I believe it was just 4 seasons. I don't think that he was redshirted at Wisconsin, but, he didn't come into the league until he was 22 and already had a lot of mileage on him.
Yeah, he did. And so this is going to be going into his 5th season, and I can't blame him for wanting more money. I don't like holdouts. I hate people holding out for more money, but I see where he's coming from. Can't really blame him for wanting the contract.
For me, I believe that, the running back is the only position where, I at least understand the holdout more than some other ones. They're trying to make the game safer. They're protecting the quarterback. They're protecting the receiver. To an extent, tight ends, are getting more protected. The linemen, you know, this is becoming more and more of a passing league. So they're not getting beaten, banged up as much as they used to. But the running back is still just a brutal position. And, you know, you got to get paid when you can get paid. And I think that's exactly what Melvin Gordon is looking at. That's what Le'Veon Bell is looking at. So let me ask you this. Do you think that they are going to get a deal signed?
I think so. I think Gordon will have a new contract by the time training camp starts.
Do second follow up. If they do not get it done, do you think Melvin Gordon sits once the season starts, like Le'Veon Bell?
I know that he wants that. He said that if he doesn't get his contract by training camp, he's demanding a trade, and it's just going to. We're going to have to see what kind of offers teams put in for Gordon. If a team puts up enough, yeah, he might get traded. But if he doesn't get that trade, I think he'll sit out.
I like Melvin Gordon as much as the next person, but I don't think there's going to be a huge trade market for a 28-year-old running back.
No, I mean, he doesn't really have the same – he doesn't have the same name power as Le'Veon Bell. And yeah. Le'Veon couldn't get a trade, so there you go.
I mean, he's been awesome the last couple of years after falling pretty flat in his rookie season, you know, setting the touchdown record for NCAA and then coming in and having zero in your rookie season. He's been pretty great ever since then. But, you know, he still kind of plays in a smaller market as much as, you know, San Diego is not a small city. It is a smaller market. And now they're in Los Angeles and it's a small fan base. I just don't know that he has the leverage that a lot of these guys have. I'm hoping he doesn't hold out, but, you know, I was hoping the same last year with Le'Veon Bell, and a lot of people took him, you know, first, second, third overall. I don't see Melvin Gordon falling out of the first round, even if he does end up sitting out. I think you have to take that risk because he's that sort of talent.
Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, he's been the running back that the Chargers needed ever since LaDainian Tomlinson left. He's been the closest to what LT was able to do out there.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll be covering those divisions in the weeks coming, and hopefully we'll have more information as that comes up. Any more news floating around the NFL you want to discuss?
Yeah, this one was really interesting to me as well. You know, we talked about the Falcons last week. They just re-signed linebacker Deion Jones to a $57 million deal that will go through the 2023 season. I think that is a great deal. He is a big piece of that defense, and he's a hard-nosed linebacker. And really a playmaker type. I really like them reaching that deal.
Debo is a stud. I think that he got overlooked a lot at LSU. He definitely had some issues with the coaching staff. But he is an absolute killer of a player. And, you know, it always saddens me to see him stay in the NFC South and compete against my Saints. But, you know, as an LSU alumni, I definitely am a big fan of Debo. Just 14 weeks out of the season, I'll be cheering for him. Yeah, I think that's a great deal. They're starting to kind of rebuild that defense just a little bit. They're staying pretty young, which I like for the Falcons and don't like for myself. But good for Debo. Get paid when you can get paid.
That's right. And, you know, just like we were talking about with Melvin Gordon, you got to get the money when it's there.
Exactly. I believe that you're worth whatever someone is willing to pay you. I was listening to some commentary yesterday about, you know, the NBA – free agency has been absolutely ridiculous. It's been so much fun. But they were talking about Terry Rozier signing. It's either $57 million or $67 million, and both are absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, that's what he bargained for, and that's what they're willing to pay him. Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, if they're coming with an open checkbook, don't sell yourself short.
For sure, for sure. Well, why don't we dive into it a little bit? We're going to be talking about the NFC North and the AFC North today. I believe we started with the AFC last week, so are you good with starting with the NFC this week?
Yeah, I'm down for it. Let's do it.
All right, we're going to get to some locks. So, Nate, why don't you kick us off with your first lock for the NFC North?
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to go with a core that is just going to be, I believe, absolutely monstrous this year, the Chicago Bears defense.
Bears.
That's right. Khalil Mack, God bless John Gruden, you know, says he needs a pass rusher after he trades his best player. Khalil Mack is the centerpiece of that defense, just like Brian Urlacher was for many, many years. I know they lost Vic Fangio, but they have Chuck Pagano now, who is one of the greatest defensive minds in this league, right behind Tony Dungy, you know, who was with the Colts for years. Go Dungy. but I think the Bears defense is going to just be absolutely monstrous this year and get you a ton of points.
I think the Bears are pretty much a lock to be the number one defense in the NFL. The question is just how far ahead are they going to be, and how early are you willing to reach on the defense? Because somebody's going to do you.
Right, you know, and I've always tended to take a defense a little bit earlier than people normally do. But I want that killer core that's going to be able to give me those points. I'd probably say between the 5, 6, and 7 rounds. That's what I would do.
Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely not reaching that early for the Bears. For me, what I like to do, if it's good value, then I'll take it. But I like to set up my full starting offensive lineup for the most part, you know, not counting a kicker. I like to get an extra backup running back. If there's value at the wide receiver, I'll get an extra value at the wide receiver. For me, I don't reach for quarterbacks, and I don't reach for defenses. And this is why I believe if you don't get the top one or two quarterbacks, then, you know, 3 through 10 are going to be the same person. They're going to put up the same numbers. Maybe not week-to-week consistency, but the numbers are going to be the same. And I kind of feel the same way with defenses. I'm a big proponent of streaming defenses. Who is going to be playing what used to be the Browns? It's not going to be that anymore. But, you know, who is playing the Lions this week? Who is playing the Cardinals this week? And I'll pick up and drop 10 defenses in a season. But I do love the Bears defense. I like watching the Bears defense.
Yeah, it's a great core. And, you know, my philosophy when it comes to that defense is once that first defense goes off the board, there's going to be a run on them. And then you might be stuck with the 10th, 11th, 12th best defense in the league, which, you know, you might get 1 or 2 points a week. So, yeah, I might be reaching a little bit, but it might pay off in the end.
See, for me, I might end up with the 10th best defense, but do they have the second or third best matchup that week? That's why you got to pay attention to the schedule. I love looking at schedule early for defenses and even kickers. And then for my offensive players, I like looking at that week 14, 15, 16 matchup. Who is going to have the best matchup for the playoffs? Because I'm going to grind it out. I'm going to get in there one way or another. Now, do I have an opportunity once I get there? I don't want to, you know, have somebody like Antonio Brown in the past, and then week 16, he's playing the Bears. I don't want that. So, you know, that may make a difference if I'm choosing between player A and player B, who has that matchup. And with the Bears, there's somebody you can plug and play every week. And they are going to get you points, which I really, really like. Just make sure that you're getting the value for it, and that value may be there in your mind.
Yeah, and it kind of depends on how the run goes in the draft. But if they're there and, you know, I'm not really sold on anybody else in that offensive lineup, I'm going to take them.
Yeah, I think this year is a weird year where we have a lot of depth and not a lot of top-heavy players. I've been looking and studying some of the ADP rankings for this year, and there are some outliers out there, man. I'm sure we're going to get into some of them. But I think this year is going to be a very interesting year for fantasy football, and taking something that's a sure bet like the Chicago Bears may not be a bad bet for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, there's – like you were talking about with the outliers, there's going to be a lot of sleepers on that waiver wire that you're going to be able to pick up and get points with.
For sure, and there's always injuries and things like that that are going to make a huge difference. And one thing I like about the Bears, too, kind of wrapping up on them, is that other than, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to play Aaron Rodgers twice a year, but I'll play Kirk Cousins and the Lions, you know, 4 games out of 16. Yeah, I'll take that every time.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
Well, let me hit you with another person inside this division. And we kind of just touched on the quarterback with Kirk Cousins. But I believe that Adam Thielen is going to be an absolute lock. Right now, he is getting drafted in the kind of mid-fourth round. And after the numbers he put up the last couple of years, specifically last year, and having the talent around him that they have in Minnesota, I think he's a lock to be a very, very strong wide receiver two, if not a wide receiver one.
Yeah, I like Adam Thielen a lot as well. Here's my question for you, though. With Stefon Diggs still on the team, how do you think that dynamic is going to work? Do you think that both of them are going to be split with Kirk Cousins throwing to them?
Yeah, I would still put them both on the outside. I think you can play players like Treadwell or somebody in the slot. And I think it's going to be able to kind of space the ball out a little bit. With Dalvin Cook coming back, even though I do have my questions about him, I think that that's going to relieve any even more pressure off of Cousins. And I think that we could be looking at even bigger years for Thielen and Diggs. I like Diggs as well. I just like Thielen just a little bit more.
I do too. I think Thielen just has that. He has that consistency that Diggs doesn't have. Diggs has that wow and that it factor that he can make these big plays, but he's not going to be as consistent week in and week out for you.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I think Minnesota is going to be pretty good on offense and pretty good on defense. But I think when it comes to crunch time, they just kind of fall flat. While I like a lot of their players for fantasy purposes, I don't really like their team that much for, actual competing for a playoff spot. And I could be surprised. They've made the playoffs, I think, every year since Adrian Peterson left, which is wild.
It really is.
This year, I think that the Packers are going to be a little bit better. I think that the Bears are going to be even better, and the Lions are always kind of scrappy. I think that's a pretty tough division. Give me Thielen at, pick 34, 35 all day, every day.
Oh, absolutely. And you were talking about how they fall within that within the division. The Vikings are really going to show this season what happens when you throw $84 or $85 million at a quarterback that you're not really sure about. Kirk Cousins really has to step it up this year, and Adam Thielen might be the reason why he can step it up.
Yep, I tend to agree. I'm excited to watch them. I think they're a fun team to watch, especially in the first three quarters, and then you never know what you're going to get in the fourth quarter with Kirk Cousins. And I like Kirk Cousins. I think that he's a above replacement level quarterback. Is he going to, make your Pro Bowl team? Maybe not. But he does put up good fantasy numbers. So, if you're in a bind on a bye week, I definitely don't think he's a bad option, depending on the matchup.
Yeah, he's, 10 times better than half the other quarterbacks you could plug in there.
Yeah, for sure. Another guy I have is another wide receiver in Davante Adams. Davante Adams has been an absolute stud the last couple of years, putting up double-digit touchdowns. I believe he's heading towards that again this year with Aaron Rodgers, kind of with a little bit of a fire lit under him. I know that they change offenses, and he's a little bit aggravated at this point. But, if you have a talent like Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to you and talent within yourself like Davante Adams has, I know that he's going early in drafts, but I really, really like his production.
Yeah, Davante Adams is I'm not going to put him on the same level as DeAndre Hopkins, but Davante Adams is really consistent, and he's a great receiver to have on your team, and that great one, that one slot for receivers. And if he's there, I'm going to take him. I mean, I
Yeah.
like Davante Adams. I've liked him for a long time.
Yeah, he doesn't have the talent that DeAndre Hopkins has, but he's got a better quarterback as of right now. Who knows what, Deshaun's going to turn into. But Aaron Rodgers is an all-timer, and when you have that much talent within yourself and you have, an all-time arm throwing it to you, you're able to put up numbers like that. They also tend to trail a decent amount because their defense is a little soft, so they're always throwing the ball around. You can bank on Davante Adams having at least 100 yards or a touchdown every week.
Absolutely. And he's great when you get him into that red zone.
Yeah, I adore Adams. If he's there at the right spot early, I believe that he is a perennial first round pick this year, and I think that's a good thing. I like personally. Let me ask you this: if you're in a 10-man draft, what is your preferred spot? Do you like beginning, middle, or end of the draft?
Oh, I want picks 5 or 6.
Okay, interesting. Why?
Because you're going to be about the same spot, because obviously it's the snake draft. You're going to be in about the same spot every round. Yeah, if you get that 1 or 2 spot, yeah, you're going to get that great first pick, but then you're going to have to wait a long time. And if you're at the back of the first round, you got the back to back, you have to wait a long time. I don't like waiting in between my picks. I'd like to have that consistency. 5 or 6, I'm good there.
Okay, see, I like being a one in two places. I like being like pick number four, where there's usually four really top tier guys that people are deciding within, and I don't have to make a decision. I'm going to take whoever they don't take, and then I'm going to have a good player, and I get to pick before them coming back. So that's why I like to be around the 4 or 5 position. Usually the 4 or 5 is a little late. Or I like to be at 9 or 10. I like to be able to make back-to-back picks. If I'm stuck between 2 players, there's a chance I could get both of them. And I kind of like that. If you're in the middle, it's hard to kind of plan out who's going to be there and who's not, because there's always going to be 10 picks before you come back. Yeah, you pick every 10 picks or whatever, but once it gets closer to my picks at the end of the draft, then I can see the board and I was like, okay, I can get 2 of 3 of these players. And I like to kind of plan it out that way.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just kind of personal preference. I don't know. I get really anxious when I have to wait a long time for my pick, and then, I have this guy I'm looking at, boom, they're gone. I've wasted all that time.
See, that's just beer drinking time for me. I feel like I could catch my breath. I can see, I like to kind of game, especially I love live drafts. I hate when people do online drafts. Like, I like to get together with my buddies. I like to, talk crap, do the board, and you can kind of work the room if you have time in between your picks, and kind of get some inside information, kind of figure out and see what's going on with the board. But if you're doing an online draft, yeah, it's definitely annoying to have to just sit there and sit there and sit there, and you might be there for 15 minutes early in the draft, and not have a pick. So yeah, I can definitely understand that. Do you have any more locks for the AFC North you want to talk about?
Well, let me throw it over to the AFC North if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so I'm just going to go running back James Conner from the Steelers.
Okay, interesting.
He really took over for Le'Veon last year. He was consistent. He's a hard-nosed running back. I've liked him all the way back in college. He is a great hard-nosed runner. He fits that Steelers persona, and he's racking up points as well.
Yeah, I like James Conner too. I think that he's a really good guy. I like him more as a guy than I do as a player. I think that he's an inspiration. I think you're right. He is hard-nosed. He does kind of fit that Steeler identity. But for me, I'm just not big on the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Losing Antonio Brown, Juju having to step up. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But James Conner isn't going to have that firepower behind him with Big Ben getting a year older, their offensive line getting a year older, losing some key players there. I think James Conner is going to be a good player, but as far as a lock, I still have some questions about him. I do think there's some talent. I do think that he's shown that he can put up those numbers, but I think it's a completely different Pittsburgh Steelers team that's around him this year.
Well, and see that almost to me kind of helps prove my point, because it is a different Steelers offense. He was there last year. You're trying to figure out what receivers you got. So until we figure that out, let's give Connor the ball, see what he can do.
See, for me, I think they may lean on that a little bit early, but I think they're going to be trailing. I think they're going to be trailing pretty quick, and they're going to be throwing the ball. And he's not bad, but he's not the best at catching the ball out of the backfield. And for me, with those early round running backs, I'm looking for somebody that can get me points through the air and through the ground. I think that they plug and played him with Le'Veon and kind of forced him to do more than what he's really good at last year. And it worked out for fantasy owners, fantastic. I think James Conner is in the top 3 best players for keeper leagues, because he wasn't drafted last year, or he was drafted late because of the Le'Veon stuff. But as far as like wasting, no, I'm not gonna say wasting, using a second round, third round pick on James Conner. For me, I think there might be better options out there. I really like him, but I wouldn't designate him as a lock.
Okay, fair enough. Well, is there another running back in the AFC North that you would pick over him?
Not necessarily over him, but for like the value that they are presenting at the pick that you're getting them at. I love Mark Ingram this year.
Okay.
He's going late third round, early fourth round in a lot of drafts. He's going to Baltimore, which is going to have to run the ball because they cannot throw the ball, whether or not they're losing or not. It doesn't matter. He has more talent. He has more character than a lot of the running backs that they've had the last couple of years, and their running backs have been consistently, top 10, top 15 running backs. And you can't tell me that, Mark Ingram isn't better, even though he's old. He's still old, and I understand that. You can't tell me he's not better than Buck Allen.
Oh no, he absolutely is. But here's my thing about Mark Ingram. I like him as a guy. I really do. I think he underperformed in New Orleans. I think he had bigger expectations coming in coming from Alabama, you know, this fantastic beast. And I think he underperformed. I think he was great in splitting the role between, you know, I think Alvin Kamara outshined him. I think this is going to be a new opportunity for him, and I really hope he lives up to those expectations that he had coming out of college.
See, I think that he's much older now. He'll never be Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram again, but I think that he's still a very, very, very good NFL running back. And, you know, he may not have lived up to, you know, MVP level running back, but, you know, just because he got outshined by Alvin Kamara, one of the best running backs in the NFL, isn't necessarily a bad thing to me. Going to where he's going to be the head guy again, but he's still got some talent behind him. He's not a three down back. But he can catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit, and he can grind those yards out. That's exactly what Baltimore is going to be trying to do this year, is run the ball, run the clock, and kind of try to control the game with their defense. And I think they have a really, really good guy in Mark Ingram to not only provide numbers but provide leadership to that team, and maybe give Lamar Jackson a little bit of a cushion. But, you know, at late fourth round, early fifth round, wherever you're able to kind of target Mark Ingram, I think that is absolutely great value and better value than you would get out of somebody like James Conner, even though James Conner is younger and probably more talented. I think you can get somebody else there and still rely on Ingram a little bit later in the draft.
I will tell you, I do think Mark Ingram will be able to pull in a fair amount of points. And here's why. I think once the Ravens get down into the red zone, he's going to punch it in like a fullback, and he's going to be getting those score the touchdown points.
Oh, he's definitely a touchdown vulture, which is kind of funny because, you know, Alvin Kamara has been great in the red zone the last couple years too. So, you know, we've scored a lot of rushing touchdowns over the last couple years, kind of pulling away from Breeze's legacy just a little bit. But, you know, that shows how balanced that offense truly was. And the way that you beat the Saints last year was very different than what how you beat the Saints 3 or 4 years ago. Last year, the way to beat the Saints, make them pass the ball. Because we just didn't have options. Like, you were going to get gashed if, you know, you got hit by thunder and lightning with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got another lock for the AFC North you want to talk about?
Yeah, this is still a young guy, and I think he's going to be a favorite target for Baker Mayfield, and that's David Njoku from the Browns, the tight end. I think he's solid. You know, Baker Mayfield has a lot of talent around him. He's got a great offensive line, although they did lose Joe Thomas. He's got Nick Chubb in the backfield. Got Odell on one side, got Jarvis Landry on another, and then you got David Njoku at the tight end. Jarvis, Odell, they're both covered. David, you know, first down, 10, 15 yards, and he's great in the red zone as well. David Njoku is a young talent who I think, give him another 10 years, he could be up there in the conversation with Tony Gonzalez and players like that. I think he has that kind of talent.
I think he's got that sort of athleticism. I think he's an athletic freak. I think that he's going to be a huge touchdown target. I've really liked him since he came out, and he's kind of disappointed me the last couple of years. And I'm hoping that this is the year that he truly breaks out because they have a little bit more going on the outside. And, you know, Baker Mayfield takes another step forward. You know, second year off of a rookie contract is really that year where you can truly start competing, right?
Right.
If you look around at like people like Big Ben or Russell Wilson or even Andrew Luck, that second year is where you can take that big step forward, and I'm hoping that we see that from Baker. You know, I've gone out and gotten Njoku the last 2 years, thinking, you know, this is going to be it. This is going to be his breakout year. This is going to be it, and it hasn't happened yet. I do think it could be this year, but for me personally, I've been burned by him, so I'm not going out and reaching for him. If the value's there, yeah, I'll go take him. Yeah, I like Njoku.
Right now, I have him as the number nine tight end on my board. So you might be able to wait a little bit. So he could almost be a sleeper as well. You could get him for very good value if this is his breakout season. But I think this is going to be his breakout season, and he's going to be a good haul for whoever picks him up.
Yeah, I really like his value because like nine is definitely not overly high for him. I think that he, if he's going at nine, he has the potential to be a top three tight end at the end of the year. And I really, really like that about him. So yeah, I like Njoku. For me, I'm not going out just because I'm angry about it. But for the listeners out there, I think Njoku could be a really, really good option. I got one more guy I want to kind of talk about. Another Browns player, Jarvis Landry. My brother always picks on me because I'm a Browns fan. I cheer for the Saints, and then I cheer for, a downtrodden team until they get good, and then I move to another one. And the Browns have been that team for the last several years, and now they're going to be good, and I'm kind of excited about it. And I always pick Browns players, and I probably reach for him a little bit, but I think this is a year that may pay off. Jarvis Landry is a absolute machine when it comes to catching the ball. He is going to get 100 catches, and with Odell back in, and you got another player I want to talk about in just a little while in a different category. But Jarvis might be playing out of the slot a lot more, and that's where he should be naturally. And I think now that you have a huge threat in Odell, you have a big tight end in Njoku, Jarvis Landry might have his best season yet.
Yeah, and it's crazy, when we talk about the Browns, a couple of years ago, they're the laughing stock of the NFL. And, deep down, everybody kind of wants, like, man, I kind of want to see the Browns turn things around. Well, guess what? They're here. The Browns are, they're here. So might as well go ahead and jump on the Cardinals bandwagon while you're at it. I like Jarvis Landry a lot. And he was going to be the number one guy there without Odell. But now Odell's there. They're like brothers, they're best friends, and I can't wait to see that duo with Baker at the helm. I like Jarvis Landry a lot.
I think it's crazy right now that Jarvis Landry is projected to go in the eighth round.
Yeah, that's insane.
That he is so talented. Like, if you look at the numbers based off, his first X number of seasons, he's one of the best wide receivers that's ever played the game, and he's never had a quarterback. So now Baker is going to be taking another step up. He's got bigger targets. He's going to be catching that, second or third cornerback instead of that number one cornerback every time. Like, let me, I don't like these guys, but let me list you some guys that are getting drafted before Jarvis. Kenny Galladay is going like 30 picks before Jarvis Landry. Robert Woods, who I like. Cooper Kupp, who I like. Mike Williams, who I like, but not more than I like Jarvis. Jarvis is maybe my favorite player for the value that I'm looking at this year.
Yeah, so for those of you that are listening, you might be able to get a really good steal with Jarvis Landry, unless someone else in your league, overreaches and takes him in the first or second round.
We'll see what happens with that. I think, with us living in Louisiana, a lot of the times those LSU players or those Saints players go earlier than what they need to. So there's a good chance I don't end up with Jarvis Landry because I'm not going to take him in the fourth round. I'm probably not going to take him in the fifth round. But I'm going to be targeting maybe a little earlier than what the ADP is. Sixth round comes around and I need a wide receiver. Jarvis Landry is 100% my man. I will take Jarvis
Oh,
Landry every time.
yeah, I think he's on my watch list as well. And God, I just hope you don't get him before I do.
That's it. Anything else for locks?
Yeah, I want to throw one more out there for you. You can't forget about this guy, the Ravens kicker Justin Tucker, who has perennially for the past, 5, 6, 7 years been the top fantasy kicker in the league. He's been my kicker for the past 5 or 6 years, and you're almost guaranteed to get 13, 14 points a week from him.
I love Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker is one of my favorite players in the NFL, and that's kind of funny. For me, most people don't draft kickers until like the last two or three rounds. Usually the last round is where a lot of people get their kickers. I usually reach for Justin Tucker, depending on where my position is in the draft, around earlier than people go for kickers. Because what's the difference between me picking the best kicker in the draft right there and then everybody else picking kickers right after me? I could still get the player that I could have got where I got Justin Tucker if everybody else is about to pick kickers, right? Does that
Right,
make
because
sense?
once you take him, there's about to be a run on kickers. Everybody's going to grab one.
Exactly. And I can get the guy who I would have picked there anyway, more than likely, because everybody's about to run on kickers. So I might as well get the kicker that I want.
Right. What round do you usually, try to grab Justin Tucker?
If Justin Tucker is the only kicker I'll reach for, if you're in a 15 round draft and I'm at the beginning of round 14, I'm taking him. If he's still there, If he's not still there, I'm going to take a kicker with my last pick because I'll just stream kickers. Just whoever's got a good matchup that week, what the weather is, who's kicking in Denver, that's who I want. But Justin Tucker is just so consistent wherever he goes that if I have the option to get him, I will go get him. But, you know, that's few and far between in a lot of these drafts because some people do, in my opinion, overreach for kickers.
Right. I'll start looking at him around round 11. And, you know, keep an eye out through round 12. Around round 13, if no one's taking him yet, I know I have to take him because there's about to be a run on him.
Yeah, he's the only one that I will try to go out and get early as far as kickers go. But he is so good, maybe the best kicker of all time, and that's not hyperbole. He is so good and so consistent and can go from deep. And he's got a team that doesn't have a great offense, so he kicks a lot of field goals.
So
I think Justin Tucker is the biggest lock as far as kickers, but still don't overreach for him because the difference between the number one kicker and the number five kicker isn't that great of a difference. I love me some Justin Tucker. Anything
great.
Anything else as far as locks?
I think I'm pretty good on the locks.
I think we got it locked down, man. Let's move on to some risk. Moving back to the NFC, I'll get us kicked off here with a big risk for me, and this is a threefer. The entire Chicago Bears backfield is a huge risk. And I was debating so heavily with putting David Montgomery as a lock because I'm that confident in this guy coming in, played for Iowa State. He's a stud. And the Bears have two pretty good running backs, but I really like Montgomery. But, you know, crazier things have happened than the rookie not getting the snaps that I think he deserves. But he's got so much talent, and they were already splitting that, you know, unless they fall super deep, I really kind of want nothing to do with the Chicago Bears backfield this year.
Yeah, you know, I like David Montgomery as well. It's going to be really, you know, it's going to be really up to what Tarik Cohen can do. I like you, I don't have a lot of faith in them as well. However, you know, the team is, you know, probably the best team in the NFC North, and have a lot of firepower. So maybe the running backs, you know, might have a decent season. I don't see it happening. I see where you're going with that.
There's no doubt in my mind that the Chicago Bears will have a good running game this year. The doubt comes with which one of them is going to have the good season this year. The Bears are going to run the ball, but are they going to run it with Jordan Howard? Are they going to run it with David Montgomery? Are they going to run it with Tarik Cohen? They got Cohen going at around 68, and I think that's pretty good value for him, but I just don't know that he's going to get the same play time as he's gotten in the past with this new guy coming in. And Jordan Howard has always kind of been pretty consistent, but you know, there's weeks where either Cohen goes off or Howard goes off, and they were already kind of a risk to me. And you throw a third talented back in there, and I'm not really interested in the Chicago Bears backfield this year because I think it's too big of a risk. I might get the, you know, the best one of the three, but I might get the dud.
Yeah, you know, and I'll probably stay away from them as well. However, if, you know, David Montgomery or Cohen, you know, one of them hits the waiver wire, I might pick one of them up, just see, you know, see what's going on. Definitely keep an eye on them because, like you said, it can be a huge risk.
Yeah, just pay attention to how the draft is going and what you need because, obviously, they are some of the more talented running backs, and if they're more talented than the people left and you still need a running back, that doesn't mean not to go after them. It's saying that if you have some options or you already are kind of stacked at running back, don't reach for these guys because it's just a really, really big risk because of the depth chart there. And right now, David Montgomery is the third back on the depth chart. I would make a pretty significant bet that he will be number one by the end of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a playmaker. He's going to do great things in Chicago.
Running back is just a young man's game. I think that happened a little bit to Jordan Howard. You know, several years ago, Jordan Howard was the young guy, right? He was the young guy that's going to come over and take over for Matt Forte. And he did that. And then Tarik Cohen came in, and he kind of took over a little bit for Jordan Howard, and Jordan Howard kind of went down. And I think that's going to happen to both of them with Montgomery. But crazier things have happened, and I just kind of want to keep a distance and not go out and reach for these guys in that Chicago backfield.
Yeah, the telltale sign is really going to be when they play that first preseason game. How many looks is each one of them getting?
Yeah, for sure, and I think that's going to evolve throughout the season. And you never know; they're deep, so if there is an injury, obviously the other two that aren't injured, their value goes way up. And some of them may end up on the waiver wire at some point. But like David Montgomery is going 30 spots higher than Tariq Cohen, but he's behind him on the depth chart. So like that shows you what I'm saying. Like I think that David Montgomery is going to be the guy. But are you going to bet your draft on it? Because I'm not.
I'm not either.
Who's somebody risky from the NFC North for you?
Yeah, and this is going to seem like a pretty big shock. Aaron Rodgers is a risk for me.
Okay, talk me through it.
So, down season last year, I understand, there's a little bit of a fire. We got new coaching staff around. Aaron Rodgers is older, though. He's still a top quarterback in the league, but I'm not convinced that he's going to have as big of numbers as he's had in previous years. So if someone out there really likes to take a quarterback high and they're really high on Aaron Rodgers, take them in the first five rounds and he underperforms all season, you could have missed out on a great player because you wanted to take Aaron Rodgers so high. I think he's going to put up solid numbers. I don't think he's going to be as good as he's been in the previous years.
I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be top five in MVP voting this year.
Okay.
But I'm not reaching for a quarterback. People always take quarterbacks before me, and I always end up with kind of a mid-tier quarterback because I would rather have a number two wide receiver than a quarterback. Because, like I said before, the difference between quarterback number three and quarterback number eight is nothing. They're basically the same person. So I can just hold on and get, that 6, 7, 8 guy and be tied with most of the league as far as, like, quarterback play goes. So I think Rodgers is going to have a really, really good season this year. I think that he's got a lot of talent behind him. I absolutely love Aaron Jones in the backfield. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and get him that early. For me, I think Aaron Rodgers is much more of a sure thing than you do. I do think he's a little risky. But for me, on the lock to risk scale, I think he's much more lock for me. Does that mean that I'm going to go out and spend an early draft pick on him? No. I think there's other people that I can get. But I'm much higher on Aaron Rodgers, the fantasy football player, than you are, I think.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. He's a great player. I just think that, especially if you're someone that's new to fantasy football and they might be listening to this, they might take Aaron Rodgers very early based on his name alone. So wait, just stop, hold off, take a breath and get him where he's supposed to be.
Yeah, and one thing that determines how early he should go, and this is something that the listeners should know, is always pay attention to, like, what the scoring system for your league is. Because most leagues have quarterbacks scoring 4 points per touchdown. If it's 6 points per touchdown for quarterback, quarterbacks are much more valuable in those types of leagues. I personally don't really care for those types of leagues. I believe that makes the quarterback overpower the team. But if you are in one of those leagues where you might not get negative points for interceptions or you get more points for touchdowns or there's some bonus points for the amount of yards thrown, always look into those sort of things. And that should move people up or down your draft board depending on the rules of the game. You got to play by the rules of the game, and you have to know them to do so. So Aaron Rodgers could be very, very useful in some leagues and not that useful in others. So always pay attention to your settings.
Yeah.
Another risk for me, I dropped his name earlier, is Kenny Golladay. I think that he's going too early. I think that he's a fine player. I would take him on my team if I can get him, 6th or 7th round. I think he's a big body. I think that he's got pretty good hands. I like his quarterback in Matthew Stafford, but I don't like the Lions as a whole. I think he's got some other talent around him as far as catching the ball goes. I just don't really like the Lions this year. Kenny Golladay hasn't proven to me that he's worthy of like a 5th round pick. I think there's other guys that come after him, like Robert Woods and Kupp and Williams and Calvin Ridley and Jarvis, that I would much rather have than Galladay. And I think he's going way too early in drafts. You have opinion on Galladay or the Lions as a whole?
Yeah, I'm going to throw someone else out from the Lions that's going kind of around the same area is Kerryon Johnson, the running back.
Okay.
He's going around the same area as Galladay, and I think that's a big risk as well. I think he should be going later than he is. You know, Matthew Stafford is a great quarterback, and I haven't trusted the Lions running back since Barry Sanders left, because you know they've all been trash. So. You know, just watch out for that. You know, watch out for the Lions team in general. Be leery if you're gonna draft any of them.
I'm always a little weary of the Lions, but I actually really, really like Kerryon Johnson, not only for the fact that you could play on his name for your team name for fantasy football with like Carry On My Wayward Son or anything like that, but I also really like his talent, man. I loved him when he was in college. I thought that he was the best running back in the nation his senior year. I think that he's got a ton of talent, and if they can use him effectively, I think he's going to be a top 10 running back this year. That's also very risky. Like you said, you know, how early he's going, I think it depends on the flow of the draft. I'm definitely much higher on Kerryon Johnson than I am Kenny Galladay for sure.
You know, I think the big thing with Kerryon and with Kenny Galladay, whichever league you're in, you know, some leagues they have a massive run on running backs at the beginning, or they have a massive run on running backs and wide receivers at the beginning. You might be missing out on these running backs, and you could be in the second and third round, like, oh crap, I need a running back. Take Kerryon in the third round. You might have just kind of screwed the pooch a little bit. But if he turns out great, you know, then, you know, you're the savior for your team. So who knows?
Just pay attention to who's going. I think the difference between someone like Galladay and somebody like Kerryon Johnson comes with, I don't know how many running backs after Kerryon Johnson I would rather have than Kerryon Johnson. There's seven wide receivers I'd rather have than Kenny Galladay at that position. And I think that's the difference. I think wide receiver is much deeper than the running back spot, which makes Kerryon more valuable to me. Just pay attention to like what you need on your roster. Did you go two wide receivers early, or did you go two running backs early, or did you split? That should determine where you're looking for your value at.
Very true.
Any more risks for the NFC North? Or are you ready to move to the AFC?
I think I'm ready to move to the AFC.
Why don't you hit us with your first one then?
All right, so my first one, I'm kind of keeping the quarterback theme for the risks, Ben Roethlisberger,
Okay, I
and
tend to agree.
it's kind of going along the same vein, not as much as Aaron Rodgers, but I think people might pick him earlier because of his name. Big Ben is he's not the same person he was 2 or 3 years ago. He's lost Antonio Brown. He doesn't have Le'Veon Bell. That offensive line's not as good as it was. I think Big Ben's going to get hit a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see Ben pulled week six, week seven with a couple of injuries and see someone else go in there.
See, my issue with Big Ben is as he's gotten older, he is absolute trash can of garbage on the road. He's great at home. Don't get me wrong. He puts up really good numbers at home. So if you're streaming a quarterback, pay attention to what that schedule is. If he's playing in Pittsburgh against a Cincinnati, light it up, green light him, send him out there. But if he's playing, Arizona in Arizona, he's going to be horrible. He's going to throw five interceptions.
Which is crazy to think about.
So, like, he was so good when I was a kid. And I think, like, what you said, because of his name recognition, because of nostalgia, because people are like, oh, Big Ben. Yeah, he's good. He's going to go way too early. I'm not big on Big Ben at all. I think that he's slowly but surely going to go the way of Eli Manning, who, in my opinion, is the worst quarterback in the NFL right now. I don't think he's quite there yet. I think he's still got some upside as far as, playing at home. But that's, for me, that's only picking him up off the waiver wire if he's there. I'm not going to spend a draft pick on Big Ben.
The biggest thing going for Big Ben right now is the coaching staff, because they know how Big Ben works and they can tool that offense around Big Ben to make him thrive. I just don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's defense is going to be a lot better. So they're going to be in a lot more games, even with as bad as I think the offense is going to be this year, because that kind of leads me into one of my big risks, and that's his number one receiver in Juju. I love Juju Smith-Schuster. You should follow him on Twitter. You should follow him on Twitch, but you should not draft him as early as he's going. He's getting drafted number 20 overall, and while I like the talent, while I like the numbers he's put up the last couple of years, he doesn't have Antonio Brown getting double covered on the other side anymore. I think that I think he could still have a good year, but is he going to have a number one wide receiver year? Debatable, especially with the risks that are coming with Big Ben. But if Big Ben needs to air it out, I think that he could still do that. I think there's much more upside in some other players in this division that you can get much, much, much later that we'll get into.
Yeah, you brought up that AB was getting double covered, and that's why Juju was able to get those points. Now that AB's, he is the number one guy. I don't know if he's ready for the number one guy spot.
I think that he's good enough to be the number one guy, but I don't know that he's going to put up Antonio Brown-esque numbers. I don't know that he can be like a Michael Thomas and just take a beating every week. I don't know that he's got the hands. I think he's got the speed. I think he's got some natural talent and, body control. But I just don't see him putting up, 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns like, Antonio has in the past with Big Ben.
No, if they put Juju in the slot and nickel and dime it down the field and even do some jet sweeps or something like that, Juju might be a very effective player to have on your team in that flex position. But if they try to put him on the outside, he'll get some points, but he's not going to get those big numbers.
Yeah, I agree. You have another risk for the AFC North?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a double package, and it's the sophomore quarterbacks and Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. I'm not necessarily saying they're a risk. I'm not saying they're a lock either. I'm saying they can either be really, really good or they're going to have a really down year.
Yeah, it's kind of the definition of the risk, man. It's high risk, high reward with a lot of these guys. I think Baker is definitely the safer bet. Lamar is an interesting case as far as like a bye week quarterback because he might run for 120 yards. So that might be worth it.
The thing with Baker is he has all this talent around him, and he really, shown last year. I didn't think Baker was going to be able to do anything in the NFL. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, I
Good
think
for
he's
you,
really good.
Baker. He has all this talent around him. Is he going to be able to manage the field and use that talent around him? I think he will. There's a chance. Lamar Jackson, yes, he can run for 120 yards, can't throw the ball worth crap. I'm really hoping Mark Ingram will be back there to save Lamar Jackson and Lamar Jackson's legs. I don't want Lamar Jackson to be another RG3.
I don't think he's got the arm that RG3 had. I really don't.
No, I just don't want him to take the beating that RG3 did.
Yeah, I don't either. I feel like it's still coming though. I like Lamar Jackson as, a plug and play fantasy player if you needed him, depending on the matchup, because he does give you that upside as far as running the ball. He might only throw for 150 yards and a touchdown, but he might run for 70 yards and a touchdown. And, that is some upside there. Again, that's why he is the definition of a risk, high risk, kind of medium reward. No way for me, I'm drafting Lamar Jackson. There's no reason to ever draft Lamar Jackson, in my opinion. I don't draft two quarterbacks. I draft one, and I'll drop a low tier wide receiver and pick up one on the bye week and keep rolling. For me, I don't draft two quarterbacks. I don't draft two tight ends. I'd rather stack my bench with those running back and wide receivers that I have to plug and play so many of them. So there's no reason that I'll ever see Lamar Jackson on my team other than in a bye week situation.
And going back to Baker, when I was doing research for this week, I've seen Baker taken as the number three quarterback. I've seen him taken as the number seven quarterback. The most consistent was around five or six. I think that might be, I don't know, I think that might be a little too high for him.
I think that he has the ability to win league MVP. I also feel like he has the ability to be the 15th best quarterback. And, you know, that's why we put him in this category. We want to see another year out of it. That doesn't mean that he can't do it. It's just like, okay, you did it in your rookie season. You were pretty good. Let's see what happens now.
Right. You know, we don't want the Vince Young sophomore season.
Yeah, exactly. Another guy that, you know, is creeping up there in age, very injury prone, all-time talent, but AJ Green for me is a big risk this year.
Okay.
Playing with the Bengals, their offense is slowly but surely getting worse. Andy Dalton or Jeff Driskel, who knows what's going to happen there? They're both not very great. But AJ Green has just so many nagging injuries that he's pretty much a lock to miss 4, 5, 6 games a year. And that's not something I'm looking for in a number one or number two wide receiver. He has the talent to be a number one or number two wide receiver, but the best ability is availability, and he just hasn't been there the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's really a shame because 2, 3 years ago, I thought AJ Green was the best receiver in the league.
I did too.
I put him up there above Julio. I like AJ Green. I like him a lot. And it really pains me that I'm probably not going to target him this year just because you like you said, he is injury prone. I don't need my best receiver sitting on the bench 8 or 9 weeks out of the season.
Yep, and that's my issue. No issue with the talent, just issue with the durability. A little bit issue with the Bengals as a whole. I think they have pretty low upside as far as the offense goes this year, but I'm kind of staying away from AJ Green. Any other risk you want to talk about?
I think I'm good.
All right, let's move into sleepers. And that's we want your opponents to be saying at the end of this year because they didn't know to look out for these guys. Nate, let's hit them with some sleepers from the NFC North.
Yeah, okay, so TJ Hawkinson, the tight end from the Lions. I like this kid a lot, and I think he's going to be a favorite target for Matthew Stafford. He's going later as a late round tight end. A lot of places don't even have him drafted. So I think you can really watch the waiver wire, and I think he's going to be able to pick up a lot of points for
Yeah,
you.
I think he's somebody to watch the first couple of weeks and see how he ingratiates into the offense. Like you said, I don't think he's going to get drafted in a lot of leagues. So if, you know, the first couple of weeks he starts putting up some production, you know, if he pops off, then everybody's going to be going after him. But look and see if he's putting up, you know, 3 or 4 catches a game, 50, 60 yards a game. As somebody you may want to go ahead and pick up if someone isn't living up to the bill on your roster.
Yeah, absolutely. He reminds me a lot of when Vernon Davis came into the league, highly touted and really popped off and was great for 5 or 6 years before he eventually fell off. But I don't know if TJ Hawkinson will fall off or if he'll, you know, what he's going to do. But I think he's someone to really keep an
Yeah,
eye
the
out
thing that
for.
worries me with him is the same thing that worries me with all rookie tight ends. They just never really pan out, right? So whether or not you're
No.
looking at somebody like Gronk or even somebody like OJ Howard, who I think is going to be pretty good this year, rookie tight ends are something that make me nervous. So that's why this guy's a good guy as far as like sleeper material, because you don't have to waste a pick on him. Just keep an eye out on him. If you want to like take him with your last pick or something like that, that's not necessarily a bad idea. But he is great value because it doesn't cost you anything. Just pay attention to the name, because he could become something very quickly. And if he doesn't, that's okay too. But rookie tight ends are a big risk. But as much talent as he showed at Iowa, you know, they had those two great tight ends. I kind of like Fant more than I like him, but I like his position in Detroit better. So yeah, I like that sleeper as well.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up playing a huge role for that team.
I do too. And somebody for me that is good sleeper material from this NFC North is really kind of twofold. Number one, the starter for the Minnesota Vikings at the running back position has shown to be injury prone, right? So
Right.
they have a rookie coming in named Alexander Mattinson. He went to Boise State, and I really like Boise State running backs. They're just tough. He's used to playing in the cold. You know, they play in a dome now in Minnesota, but, you know, he's going to be playing in Green Bay twice a year. So,
And in Chicago.
exactly. So, I really like this kid's toughness, and I think he's got a good chance of getting some playing time with Dalvin Cook. We're going to see what Dalvin Cook's really made of this year, and we're going to find out if, you know, he's made of bird bones, because I want to see him actually play in the NFL. And, you know, if he does get hurt again, this guy's going to have great opportunity to step up and get some, you know, real carries.
Yeah, here's my thing about Madison. I love Boise State running backs as well. They've just never really translated well to the NFL, and I don't understand why. But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be this kid.
Yeah, I think that he's got some, you know, muscle hamster upside. Doug Martin was really good in Tampa Bay for a couple of years. I think that this is a better position than a lot of those Boise State running backs have been putting into. And I think he's got opportunity is the biggest thing. And, you know, he's getting drafted, you know, 132 or something like that, some way deep in the draft. So he will probably go undrafted in a lot of leagues. So this is somebody, especially if you take Dalvin Cook early, get this guy late and cuff him. That way, if you do lose your starter in Dalvin Cook, at least you still have a starting running back.
Yeah, because we know that the Vikings are going to run the ball at some point and
Yeah.
probably run it often, because I'm not sure how much faith the coaching staff has in Kirk Cousins, even though they need to with all that money. But that's just, you know, never mind. But yeah, I think either he's going to not play at all because Dalvin Cook's going to go off, or he's going to get a lot of carries because Dalvin Cook is hurt.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Dalvin Cook has really great talent coming out of Florida State. Really enjoyed watching him in college, but I would really enjoy to watch him in the NFL. And you know that doesn't say anything necessarily bad on him. He's had some like unlucky injury luck, I guess. But I think this guy is a safe bet as a cuff, specifically as far as sleepers go.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Anybody else from the NFC North?
I actually have two more that I want to look at, and I 2 years ago, or you know, a couple years ago, I never would have thought I would have said these players. The first one I want to talk about is Allen Robinson, who's
Okay.
with the Bears now. You know, last year he went down with an injury, had Mitchell Trubisky. They were still trying to figure out that offense. Allen Robinson's back. He's looked healthy in the offseason. That Bears offense is rolling. I expect Allen Robinson to be that number one receiver and to be Mitchell Trubisky's favorite targets. I think he's going late and sometimes even undrafted in these leagues. I think it's worth to give him a shot, you know, with the last pick or even, you know, couple picks up. But I think he's going to be a solid player. And then also, I want to talk about, it's crazy when he was with New Orleans. I never thought I'd say this. Jimmy Graham, I think he is about to make a resurgence with Aaron Rodgers.
Interesting. Well, let me touch on the first one with Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson is slipping a good bit, but I think he still has enough talent, enough name recognition that I think he's still going to go pretty early. Not super early, but mid-tier. He's still a number one wide receiver regardless. I don't know how confident I feel about him. But you know he's kind of like slid back in the mind of the public as far as like not being a top tier guy, but I think he could have a little bit of a career resurgence. But I don't think he'll be the number one target. I think with Trubisky he still lacks a lot of the refinement that you want to see in a quarterback, and I think his number one target will probably still be Trey Boo Boo, Trey Burton. I think the tight end being, you know, a young and not, he's not really inexperienced anymore. I want to call him that, but he's not. But a young, less refined quarterback is going to rely a lot on that tight end and the running backs that they have that we told you to be careful about. But I really liked Allen Robinson when he was in Jacksonville. I was excited for him to go to Chicago, but I think the cold is having an effect on him a little bit. But I like him. I don't know for me if I would classify him as a sleeper necessarily, just because he has like super big name recognition still, you know, being a second, third round pick the last couple of years. But I do think that he could be comeback player of the year. I think he has that potential. Will he? Probably not, but I think he does have that ability.
Yeah.
And who was the second one? Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, Jimmy Graham, I think, he's kind of slipped out of relevancy a little bit, just because after he left New Orleans, he, hasn't, let's be honest, hasn't had a stellar career after he left there. But I think this is going to be his year to really boost his game back up with Aaron Rodgers.
I don't have the rankings in front of me. Do you know like what rank he is with tight ends?
Right now he is number 19.
Wow, yeah, that's really far down. I think that's great value for Jimmy Graham, because he is low floor, high ceiling. Like we've seen what Jimmy Graham can be, and we've also seen what Jimmy Graham can be. So I think that with having Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, like it's got to click at some point, right? Or that's a real, defining moment for Jimmy Graham. Like if you can't make it work with Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, then I think that says more about you than it does about the organization or the quarterback that you're playing with. I think Jimmy Graham is definitely going to be higher ranked than the 19th tight end. I think that major injury that he had has really kind of derailed his career, but I do like Jimmy Graham. I love him at the 19th tight end. I think that's really, really good because I think tight ends in general are risky if they're not named like Travis Kelce. I still think they're pretty risky, and Jimmy Graham at least has somewhat of a track record of some, high-end talent.
If he decides that he wants to play like he did with Drew Brees, then God forbid you might have the best tight end we've ever seen on your hands.
Yeah, playing with Aaron Rodgers is going to give him the ability to go out there and make plays. Is he going to? That's what I want to see. Will he, grab the bull by the horns and kind of take off with it? And who knows with this new offense? I'm ready to see the new offense. Are they trying to make Jimmy Graham a big part of it? And if they're not, that might be a knock against him too. So I'm going to be paying attention to that in the preseason, what exactly they're doing with that tight end position, even if Jimmy Graham's not out there.
Right. And, I hope that they'll actually give him some reps in the preseason. I think that they're going to be scared because he is injury prone and they don't want to, break him.
I tend to agree. I don't see him playing a whole lot, but at least pay attention to like what the scheme is, like what type of plays they're actually running. Whether or not Rodgers is in there or not is irrelevant because they're going to build that around the starting quarterback and not the backup. So even if it doesn't fit perfectly to the backups, they're going to be playing whatever the first team is playing because if they have to plug and play, then they need to know what that is.
Right, if we're in the fourth quarter garbage time and they're running play actions to the tight end on the sidelines, then Jimmy Graham might be the guy you want to go after.
Especially if you can get him that late. I really, really like that pick. Let's move to the AFC North. I have one guy that I want to mention here as a
Okay.
potential sleeper. I really, really like this guy at Oklahoma State. I think that he has the ability to fill right into that Juju Smith-Schuster role of not getting those double teams, and I like Vance McDonald there as well. But James Washington. I really like James Washington with Pittsburgh this year. Again, it's going to be hit and miss depending on the schedule and depending on Big Ben, but I like his talent. I like the role that he's getting put into. I like the heat that Juju Smith-Schuster is going to take on the other side, and I like that you can get him in the 15th round. That's what I like the most about James Washington is the talent compared to where you're getting him at and the opportunity that they have compared to where you're getting him at. And that's what is what makes James Washington a good sleeper for me.
Yeah, I like James Washington a lot as well. I think they're going to really rely heavily on him this season. I hope that because they're probably going to rely heavily on him, that they're not going to burn him out. But I think he's going to fit very nicely in the role that Juju played when AB was there. So I expect him to have a big season.
See, I think they're going to force the ball a lot to Juju, and that's going to be an issue for them. And they're going to probably trail some. Like I said, I think the defense is a lot better, hold them in some of those games. But I think James is going to be the one that you don't have to force the ball to. I think he's going to have some opportunity to be open. And if they're playing at home, that's a great look. Like James Washington can be a great, bye week flex player if the matchup is right. This isn't a player that off the bat you're going to throw in your starting lineup, but come week 10, he might have flourished into something. So that's what I'm looking for in my sleeper is who's somebody I can get late Who's someone that other people may not be targeting? Who is someone that has the opportunity that down the line they're going to make a difference? So that's why I chose James Washington as my AFC North sleeper.
Yeah, I like him a lot as well.
Who you got for AFC North?
Yeah, well, I have a trio of guys, and they're all on the same team. So you ready for this?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Ravens, they're really trying to build around the youth of Lamar Jackson. And this trio of guys, I think, is really going to help Lamar get to that next level. First one is Marquise Brown, the wide receiver. I think he's going to have a great season. I'm also going to go with the tight end Hayden Hurst. Mm-hmm. Didn't play a whole lot last year, but I think he's primed to be a good target for Lamar. And then also the guy they have behind Mark Ingram, rookie Justice Hill. I like Justice Hill a lot. And I think if he just sits back there and learns from Mark Ingram, he can be one of the best backs in the league.
I like Justice Hill too. I watched him a decent amount in college. I just liked watching them play. I like their offense. But you also have the name is escaping me because he's never on the field because he's either hurt or suspended. The kid from Louisiana Tech, Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah.
Who's going to be coming back, and he's definitely got some talent. I think he's going to steal a lot of those secondhand carries, especially on third down, from a player like Justice Hill. Hayden Hurst, like the talent, don't like the quarterback. So I'm not super big on him, but I really like Hollywood Brown's talent. I loved him at Oklahoma. For me, if I'm going to be looking at one of those three players, give me Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, Hollywood, he's going to be that playmaker that Lamar really needs. And I think he might be in contention for Rookie of the Year.
I think he could be too, and this is why. I think Lamar has a better long throwing arm than he does short. And Hollywood Brown's kind of a burner. I think he can get past guys. And if Lamar can just throw it up, Brown is one of those players that can go out and get it, which I really, really like. He can take those screen passes. He can run the reverse. I like him. Am I going to target him? I think it depends. I'm kind of staying away. If their name's not Mark Ingram, I don't really want much to do with that Ravens offense. I think it's going to be abysmal at times, and that makes somebody like Hollywood Brown a risk because, you know, I think there's going to be some games where they don't score on offense other than Justin Tucker, and that worries me. See how the season progresses. He's someone that you could take a flyer on mid-round that could pay off dividends come playoff time, which makes him a good rookie to kind of target, a good sleeper as far as that goes. It better be at the right time or you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, and, you know, if with Hollywood, he's – I think I'm going to target him just because I think he has that much talent, and I think because they will build that offense around him and Lamar.
I think they should, yeah.
And just have Mark Ingram, you know, shove it down everybody's throat. I think he's going to be getting a lot of touchdown looks.
I think he's got the opportunity, but does he have the right guy throwing him the ball? That makes me nervous. And, you know, you got RG3 at the backup position there, and like I said earlier – you know, I'm still kind of an RG3 truther. I think his arm is better than Lamar Jackson. I think that as inconsistent as Flacco was, I still think Flacco is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. But if you can use Jackson on his rookie contract, that's what they should do. They have a great defense. I think they should continue to build that. I think that they have the opportunity to contend if that defense – becomes what it was in 2000 or in 2012. If it doesn't, if that defense isn't the best defense in the league, I don't see them making the playoffs.
See, I was a big fan of Joe Flacco, and I don't think they had the right offense for him. And I'll get to that at another point. But I was a big fan of Joe Flacco.
I liked him on paper. I liked his height. I liked his arm. I didn't like his leadership. I didn't like his fit. We'll see what happens with him in Denver. You got anything else for the AFC or NFC North?
Just one quick name I'm going to throw out for AFC North. I'm not really going to go in-depth into it. Just gonna throw it out there. Keep an eye on Tyler Boyd from the Bengals. He's a wide receiver. If AJ Green is hurt or if he's getting double covered, Tyler Boyd's gonna be the guy they try to go to.
Yeah, I like Boyd too. He's kind of like a mid-round wide receiver. He's probably a pretty good bet. I don't know that I'd categorize him as a sleeper, but I like his value in those mid-round because of what we talked about with AJ Green being hurt, and he could be a number one wide receiver by proxy. So, yeah, I really like him too. You about ready to wrap this up?
I think so.
All right, we're going to do some ups and downs. All right, let's start out with the NFC North. So are you going to ask me about the North, or am I asking you about the North?
I'll ask you about the NFC North.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so let's start with the Detroit Lions. Over under 7 wins.
Under, I think a good bit under. I think 5 might be their maximum. I don't really like their talent this year. I think they're in a very, very tough division. I think all three of those other teams are at least good teams. I think the Bears are a great team. The Bears terrify me this year. If they can get it together on offense consistently, I think they might be the best team in the NFL. And that's not good for the Lions playing the Vikings, Packers, and Bears 6 times, you know, during the year. So I'm definitely going to go down on the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions, they, you know, I don't think they have, you know, you're kind of about the Lions, how I felt about the Bucks last week. I don't think the Lions are 5 wins. I think they might be 6 or 7. But yeah, you're right. Having to play the Bears, Packers, and Vikings twice a season, that's going to destroy them in the long run.
If they get to that 6, 7, even 8 mark, that's because of the pure will of Matthew Stafford. I still believe in Matthew Stafford. I feel bad for him that he's played his whole career in Detroit because I do think that he is a really good talent. But that organization as a whole is really just kind of a disaster, and I'm definitely going to take the down on the Lions.
All right, well, let's go with the Green Bay Packers. Over, under 8 wins.
I think that's about it. If I had to go over under, I think I would go over at 9. Rather, I think they're closer to 9 than they are 7, but I think 8's about the number.
Yeah, I think 8's the number as well. I was kind of going under on them if I had to with 7, but I think that 7, 8, 9 range is probably the best for Green Bay.
Yeah, I think so too.
So the Minnesota Vikings over under 9 wins.
Under, I think. They're also in that 7, 8 mark. Like I said, I think a lot of these teams are good. They're going to be borderline playoff teams if they can, you know, get the right break here or there. Again, I just don't have a lot of confidence in Kirk Cousins as much as he has great talent with Diggs and Thielen and Cook and Mattinson and, you know, Kyle Rudolph. Pretty good defense. It's a shame that I feel like they're going to be under that. I would take them at, you know, 8 wins probably. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go with the monster Chicago Bears. You ready for this one?
I am.
Over, under 13 wins.
Ooh, if I had to pick one, I'm going to go under, but I think they're going to be in that 11 or 12 range. I think that they're dangerous come playoff time because I do think they're going to be playing at home for the most part. But I also know that during the progression of the season, if the defense doesn't play spectacular, then you're putting a lot on the offense, and I don't know how much you can put on that offense yet. I do think the offense will be better, but there's going to be some games they lose just because they can't move the ball. They can't put points on the board. But come late in the season, come playoff time, it's going to get a little frigid down there in Chicago, and I know I don't want my Saints traveling to Chicago in January.
Yeah, no kidding. That Bears defense, like I said earlier, that's going to win them a lot of games.
Yeah, I do think they're really good. I do have them winning the division. I think 13 might be a stretch, though. So I'm going to go under on them.
Fair enough.
All right, let's talk about the AFC North. Let's start with the Bengals.
Okay.
I got the Bengals at 6 wins for you. You can take the over or the under.
I'm taking right at 6 wins. That's what I was thinking. Their quarterback play is what troubles me the most. Is Andy Dalton your guy or is Jeff Driskel your guy? I'm really interested to see now that Marvin Lewis is not there anymore. is that team going to be better with a new head coach, or, are they built to really have to rebuild that team?
I'm going to take the under on that. I'm going to take much lower than that. I think the Bengals are going to be a top three pick in the next year's draft.
Interesting.
I think the Bengals are going to have a pretty rough go this season because I think they're in a not a really great division, but a really tough division. So like playing the Steelers is hard, even if the Steelers aren't very good. The fan base, the idea of the Bengals playing the Steelers has always kind of rattled them. And then the Ravens are just really tough, and the Browns have a ton of talent. So I think the Bengals are going to have a pretty rough go this season. So I'll take the under on 6 wins. With the Steelers, 8 wins over under.
If I had to choose, I'm probably going to pick the under with 7, but I think
Okay.
they are in that 7 or 8 mark.
I think a lot of people have the are relying on the Steelers brand, have a lot of confidence in the brand of the Steelers to at least keep them in contention. I think they take a pretty big step back. I think that if I had to choose up or down, I'm going to go down. I think it's going to be under 8 wins. But I think that a lot of that comes down to a lot of the dysfunction. A lot of Big Ben continuing to age, the loss of one of the best wide receivers in the league and Antonio Brown, the loss of probably for me the best running back in the league in Le'Veon Bell. Even though James Conner's good, I'll take the down on the Steelers. The Ravens, 9 wins.
I'm going to pick the over on the Ravens. I think 10 wins.
I think it's probably 9. I think that's right on the number for me is 9. I think they're going to be a borderline playoff team. If I had to pick over or under, I'm going to take the under just because if I'm going to bet, is Lamar Jackson going to be good enough to get to 10 wins or bad enough to be below 9? I'm going to take the bad. So I would go down if I had to, but I think 8-9 is what you should expect out of Baltimore this year.
Yeah, I just think they have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball, and I think Mark Ingram is going to be a big reason on why they're able to win some of those games.
I do too. And last but not least, the headline. I think a lot of people are really, really high on this team. I want to see how you feel about it. I'm going to do somewhere in the middle. Cleveland Browns, 10 wins.
I like the Browns a lot. They have a lot of talent. I'm going to have to go under. I'm going with 9 wins. I'm managing expectations for Cleveland fans. I think this team is going to be fantastic. They have a lot of talent, but you have to be able to make that talent work as a team. And we haven't seen all that talent work together just yet.
I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say over. I think that this team probably gets a first round bye. I think
Oh,
that
wow.
the Chiefs and the Browns will probably get a first round bye. I'm going to go over. I think that they'll probably be in that 11, 12, even 13 wins. I really like this team. I think they're going to be a ton of fun to watch. Obviously, I think most people love their offense. I really like their defense too. Myles Garrett is going to have another huge year, and I'm really excited to watch the Cleveland Browns. And who has said that in the last, since I've been alive?
Right. That Browns defense is very, very underrated. People
I agree.
want to talk about the firepower they have on the offense. Let's talk about the firepower on that defense. That defense is going to be probably top 5 defenses in the league this year.
I think they're going to be really, really good, and I love that they got Greedy Williams so late.
I do too.
Greedy Williams was, I don't care what anybody says, he was the best cornerback in that draft. And they got him, what, he slipped to the third round? That's
Yeah, I think
insane.
it was either late second or early third. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane because they were like, well, he doesn't tackle well. I was like, yeah, that's because nobody catches the ball on him.
That's right. That's why they call him Greedy Williams.
Exactly. So I loved that pick. I like the Browns draft as a whole. I'm super excited for the Cleveland Browns. Well, I think that about does it for me, Nate. Anything else you want to add?
I think I'm pretty good. I think we covered a lot, and I'm ready to see what we're going to do next week.
All right. Well, I think we should head east this week, and then we'll wrap up with the West. We're going to do some NFC, AFC East previews for you guys. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen. This podcast is available on several streaming platforms now, including Spotify and Google Podcasts. At this point, I think we're ready to sign off.
I think so. I think we had a good run today.
I did too. I enjoyed it. I think we got a lot of good information out there to help you guys out. Again, if you have any questions or topics you want to talk about, send it to us at our Twitter accounts. Mine is Connor_McCain on Twitter. Nate, what is yours?
Mine is at Nate Naz Sports.
Perfect. So, well, send us any questions, anything that you have out there. Feedback would be great. If you could leave us a review, that would be even better. I've really enjoyed it 2 episodes in. I think we got a long way to go. We got a long season coming, and that train is chugging along, and we're getting closer and closer to some football, and I'm super excited.
That's right, go Colts.
I don't know about all that, but anyway, thanks for listening to Fantasy Beasts with Connor and Nate. I'm Connor, and he's Nate, and we are signing off.